Amen. Well, let's pray and ask God's blessing upon His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word once again, and we thank You that we can gather here this afternoon to hear it read and proclaimed, and we pray that You'd bless the reading and preaching of Your Holy Word, that by Your Holy Spirit You'd help us to understand it, and that as we've just sung, that we would not forget all the many mercies and blessings You've given to us. Father, as we hear a sermon on praying with thanksgiving, we pray that You would help us to grow in our thankfulness to You and to remember all the many things that we should and can be thankful for. And we pray that You would bless now this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you would turn with me in your songbooks to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, which is on page 57, page 57 in the back of your songbooks. This isn't a catechism sermon per se. This is a Thanksgiving sermon that I preached in light of our recent Thanksgiving holiday, but I thought it'd be good for us to just read question and answer 116 of the Heidelberg Catechism as it ties in well with the theme of praying with thanksgiving. Now, I forgot to ask the elders if you guys read this responsively or not. Nope? Okay. I looked at a couple of them. They said no. So I'll just read it for us, and you can follow along. All right. So I'll read from Lord's Day 45, just question and answer 116. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. And then if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, it goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians 4 is found on page 1351 in your pew Bibles. Page 1351. Our main text in this passage is Philippians 4, verse 6. But I will read verses 4 through 6. So let's give our attention to the reading now of God's holy, inerrant and inspired word from Philippians 4, verses 4 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. May God bless His Word. Well, as I said, in light of the recent Thanksgiving holiday, I thought it'd be good for us to meditate this afternoon on the importance of praying with thanksgiving. So this would be a sermon that I preached right before Thanksgiving in Regina a couple weeks ago. My apologies to some of the members here that may have been in Regina to hear it. This will be a repeat, but it's always good to hear things twice. But I want to talk this afternoon about just the importance of praying with thanksgiving. This is something that I think that we learn more and more as we mature in the Christian life. When we're baby Christians, as it were, we tend to be very quick to pray for all the needs that we have. We tend to go quickly from adoration to confession to thanksgiving to supplication and really spend a lot of time there asking for our various needs. But I want to encourage you not to move too quickly through those important elements of prayer. And this afternoon, especially that element of thanksgiving. The question I want to ask this afternoon with you is, why should we pray with thanksgiving? Why should we pray with thanksgiving? And I'll give you three reasons this afternoon. First, because it's scriptural. And secondly, because it's a shield against fear and self-absorption. And then thirdly, because it shows appropriate gratitude for amazing grace. So it's scriptural, it's a shield, and it shows gratitude. First, why should you pray with thanksgiving? Because it's scriptural. I don't know about you, but as I said, I used to miss the emphasis that is placed on praying with thanksgiving in the Bible. But this is a theme that we find all over the place in the Bible, just the importance of praying with thanksgiving, especially in the Psalms, and especially in the New Testament instructions on prayer. But just let's talk about the Psalms. The other night, I had the privilege to give a devotion at a teacher's conference, and afterwards, they were playing a trivia game, kind of a group trivia game, and they're trying to answer questions for the various fields of studies that they teach. And because it's a Christian school, some of those questions were Bible trivia questions. Oh, so you got a minister nearby. Let's help ask him to help us with some of these Bible trivia questions. But one of the questions that some of these groups came to me to ask help on was, can you help us with the genres of the Psalms? What are the seven genres of the Psalms? Their question was, can you name at least three or four of them? What about you guys? Can you name at least three or four? The seven genres of the Psalms? There's at least three, I think, that you should know. One is praise. There's some praise psalms that just praise God for his attributes and who he is. We're all, of course, familiar with the lament psalms. There's actually more lament psalms than any other genre in the Bible, which is interesting, but that's a topic for another sermon. And then a third, one of the main categories, we won't say the other ones, but is psalms of thanksgiving. There's an entire genre of the psalms devoted to thanksgiving called psalms of thanksgiving. And in these psalms, the psalmist recounts the trouble that he was in. So perhaps he was, you know, oppressed by some enemy, or people were, you know, his best friend betrayed him. Or he's sick and on the verge of death. Or maybe he's suffering because of his own sin in some way. The psalmist recounts that calamity that they were once going through, and then typically recounts quoting himself, what he prayed in that prayer of lament. And sometimes you can find a lament psalm in a thanksgiving psalm elsewhere in the Psalter. And so he recounts what he prayed, and then he thanks God for the deliverance that God provided for him and how he was faithful to deliver him. That one of the psalms of thanksgiving we just sung, Psalm 116. And just go back and look at Psalm 116. It's a classic example of a psalm of thanksgiving where one recounts where God had delivered them from some kind of trouble. And the point here is that it's scriptural to be thanking God when he answers our prayer requests. Not just to feel thankful, but to express it in a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, sadly, we often fail to express our thankfulness to God in prayer. It's as if we think, well, I don't have time, and, you know, he already knows how I feel anyway. Why bother? But we need to not only be thankful, but to say thank you in prayer and to spell that out. It's so important for us. Quite often we, you know, when I take prayer requests in various situations, people will just share needs. But let's not forget to share the thanksgivings as well. The Psalms often remind us that the Lord is always faithful to his people, and that his love endures forever, and we should be giving him thanks. Another great example, this is Psalm 136, which was what we got our call to worship from. You may know that one, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. You can probably figure out what the theme of that psalm is. It's the steadfast love of the Lord, which endures forever, which the psalmist, in fact, repeats 26 times in that psalm. His steadfast love endures forever. One commentator points out that the words, give thanks, do not express the full meaning of this word. It basically means to confess or acknowledge, and therefore calls us to thoughtful, grateful worship, spelling out what we know or have found of God's glory and deeds. And so we learn from this command to give thanks that in our prayers, we should be thoughtful about our thanksgiving. We should spell out the reasons for which we are thankful. Let me ask you, do you do this? Or is it your tendency to just, you know, say, Lord, thank you for all the many gifts that you give me? Or, you know, thank you for creating me. Thank you for saving me. Do you spell it out ever a little bit more than that? It's important that we do that. You know, the Psalm 136 tells a story. You could summarize it in that it's about how God is to be thanked for creating us and redeeming us. Well, why not just have those two verses? Why go through all the detail? Well, it's important. It's telling a story, and it helps us express our thankfulness in an appropriate way to God. It's not just a generic Thanksgiving card. But once again, we see that praying with thanksgiving is something greatly encouraged in the Scriptures. And we not only see this in the Psalms, I said, but especially in the New Testament instructions on prayer, especially Paul, when he writes about prayer. Have you ever noticed that whenever Paul typically exhorts the churches to pray, that he almost always says, with thanksgiving? Almost always. Let me give you three examples. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Or as we read in Philippians 4:6, our text, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's a well-known verse. My children memorized that in school, and I'm sure lots of you have memorized Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. And have you noticed just that little part that he throws in there with thanksgiving? I think if I asked you what's Philippians 4, 6, and 7 about, and off the top of your head you responded, you'd probably say, well, it's that verse that tells us we should pray and give God all of our needs and anxieties, and he'll remove that from us. He'll give us peace. But would you have told me it also says that we should pray with thanksgiving there? That's an important part. We'll come back to that in the second point for why it's important in fighting anxiety. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is another example. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So Paul thought it was important that we include regular thanksgiving in our prayers. And by the way, he usually wrote these things while he's in prison. Okay, so if you hear that, you know, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, you think, Paul, you don't even know how it is. You don't know what I'm going through. Okay, just read what Paul went through in the New Testament. And when he writes these, he's usually in prison. And he not only exhorts us to pray with thanksgiving, he models it. You ever notice how Paul opens all his letters, typically with a prayer for the churches, but he also begins with a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking God for the churches. Now, why does Paul put such an emphasis on praying with thanksgiving? And why is it so important? Well, this leads us to our second point. Our first is that it's scriptural. And our second reason why we should pray with thanksgiving is because it's a shield. It's a shield against fear and self-absorption. The one who never thanks God is easily given to fear and self-absorption. You see, thanking God for past and present blessings, it has a tendency to cast out fear and to fuel confidence for the future. This is why it's so important to pray with thanksgiving. When you're daily reminding yourself of God's grace to you in Christ and thanking Him for all the spiritual blessings that you have in Christ, as well as all the many temporal blessings that He's given you every day, when you reflect on that and thank Him, it has a tendency to cast out fear and anxiety and to fuel confidence for the future. It's like saying, look, God had my back then. He's got my back now. He's always going to have my back. He's going to have my back in the future, just as He always has in the past. so I can be confident and not afraid and anxious. Why am I so anxious? He's come through for me time and time again. Commenting on Psalm 136, Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "Let us thank Him that we have seen, proved, and tasted that He is good. He is good beyond all others. Indeed, He alone is good in the highest sense. He is the source of all good, the good of all good, the sustainer of good, the perfecter of good, and the rewarder of good. For this He serves the constant gratitude of His people." He serves the constant gratitude of His people. Have you noticed how God is serving your gratitude lately? The sooner you start to notice these things, the blessings that you have from God, both temporal and eternal blessings, the sooner you'll stop worrying about the future. Gratitude is a shield against fear and anxiety. This is why I think Paul includes with thanksgiving in that well-known verse, right? That verse about what do you do when you're anxious? Well, you pray. Maybe some of you guys have prayed, but you still are anxious. Well, I might ask you, are you praying with thanksgiving? Don't miss what he says there. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving is a key aspect in your prayer to be a shield against anxiety and fear. It's also a shield against self-absorption, as I said. The one who does not thank God on a regular basis is also given to self-absorption. I mean, just think about it. Proud people don't pray with thanksgiving. Proud people don't thank God. Proud people think, look at all this that I've accomplished. I'm so great. And you sort of pat yourself on the back. You don't thank God. You thank yourself. God despises pride. He hates it, the Bible says. And pride is one of the greatest enemies of the Christian life that we're to put to death. And pride is self-absorption. And praying with thanksgiving is a shield against self-absorption. It reminds us that God is the ultimate provider. God is the ultimate sustainer of our life. And so we should be putting it to death and praying with thanksgiving. And so why should you pray with thanksgiving? First, because it's scriptural. And secondly, because it's a shield. It's a shield against fear and self-absorption. And then thirdly, because it shows appropriate gratitude for amazing grace. And I'm going to camp out a little bit longer on this point. And when I first preached this in the intro, I gave people a heads up. The third point's the longest, because usually you try to make the third point the shortest. But if you thought, wow, this is so quick, we're almost done. No, we got a little bit longer in this third point here. But hang in there. The third reason I want to encourage you to pray with thanksgiving is because it shows appropriate gratitude for amazing grace. Joel Beakey, in this little book on prayer that he, sort of a devotional book on prayer that he wrote, writes this. He says, "We are so prone to count our one or two troubles and so quick to dwell upon that one unkind word more than upon another 100 kind words for which we should be so deeply thankful. True thankfulness brings us close to the heart of God, to His love and grace. True thankfulness realizes that anything short of hell is grace." True thankfulness realizes that anything short of hell is grace. You see, you and I must reckon with that is actually the truth of us, that we justly deserve hell if God treated us as our sins deserve. As Psalm 130 says, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" None of us deserve all the things that we have. We deserve hell, and yet Jesus took on hell for us on the cross so that you and I might be set free to live a life of gratitude. And when we murmur and complain about things, we forget how good we truly have it. Every day, every breath, every moment of life is a gift of God's amazing grace. And so you and I should be daily thanking God for the gifts He's given us. As the psalmist writes, and we sang this in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We tend to be forgetful, right? Of all of His benefits, all of His blessings. What benefits or blessings might you be forgetting today? Have you forgotten to be thankful to God for your car, for your job, for your husband or your wife? Yes, they've got some annoying sinful tendencies, but let's not miss the things we should be thankful for to God, for our husband and wife. Are you thankful for your children? Have you thanked God for the food He provides you with daily? Not only the sustenance, but the tastes and the smells. See, this is a good sermon right before Thanksgiving. my grandpa, nobody knew how to eat food like him. I'll never forget a meal at Grandma and Grandpa's. He would always take his first bite, and he'd put that bite in his mouth, and he'd close his eyes, and he would just go, That is so good. And he savored every bite. He didn't do that the whole meal. That would be awkward. But he always kind of started that way. He was just so thankful for not just the nourishment, but the taste and the smells. And I think about that a lot. I mean, in case you can't tell, I like food. You don't think about it. God could have just given us a pill to pop to nourish us. He could have made food totally plain and boring. And He gives us all these wonderful tastes and smells, and it's amazing. Have you thanked God for these things? Have you thanked God that you are alive and breathing today? Do you know how many breaths you take in a day? You and I take about 23,000 breaths in one day. When's the last time you thanked God for even one of those breaths? Have you thanked God that you can Skype and text message or email or talk on cell phones or whatever communication technology you enjoy? I know there's some drawbacks to all technology, but remember, people used to have to, you know, communicate very, very slowly. And we have the blessing of being able to communicate, right? I mean, it helps you. You guys can help oversee our church. I can Skype into consistory meetings and council meetings. What a blessing that is. Do you thank God for the technology that you enjoy? Have you thanked God for your Bible? Do you realize how amazing it is that you have a Bible in your own language? Do you realize that in the history of the church, most Christians didn't even have a personal copy of the Bible? And yet we're so blessed to have the Bible in our own language and in all kinds of formats, right? You got the men's study Bible, the women's study Bible, the student edition. You got the ESV study Bible, the Reformation study Bible. You got calfskin leather. You've got bonded leather. You've got blue, purple, black, brown. You've got the smartphone apps. You've got the audio Bible. We have so many versions of the Bible. Are you thankful for that? Do you thank God for your Bible? And do you spend time in it to show that thankfulness? Do you thank God for what health you have? I realize that some of us have very serious health struggles. But do we thank God for the health that we do have? Do you thank God for all the entertainments that you have? I mean, think of all the many entertainments He allows us. There's plasma and LCD TVs. There's Xbox and PlayStation and Wii. And we can go to the movie theaters. And there's DVDs and Netflix and all these amusements out there, right? If you like hockey, you can go to the Jets game, you know. And there's all kinds of entertainments. How is it that we get to enjoy such entertainments when we deserve hell? Think about how gracious God is to us in this way. Have you thanked God for the beauty of creation? My wife and I recently did a big, long road trip to all the way to Quebec City. It's gorgeous there. And all the stuff we saw along the way was amazing. But as we drove through Saskatchewan, we were marveling at the Saskatchewan Mountains. Now, some of you are like, what? There's no mountains in Saskatchewan. Well, we were joking that the clouds are like mountains. Because on a beautiful summer day, it's just this vast living sky and these huge mountains of clouds, all different shapes, and they're absolutely gorgeous. We call them Saskatchewan Mountains now. And we're thankful for that. One of the things that I'm thankful for living in Saskatchewan, you know, we have to find things to be thankful for. When you're from Southern California, you got to find things to be thankful for in Saskatchewan. But I'm thankful for the Saskatchewan Mountains. I'm thankful for the yellow canola fields. It's gorgeous. You've probably seen the yellow canola fields. My allergies don't appreciate it, but my eyes do. At wintertime, yes, it gets to minus 40 with a minus 50 wind chill factor, but I'm thankful for sun dogs. You ever seen a sun dog where it's like a rainbow around the sun? Or you've seen, I love that in Saskatchewan, right, we joke it's cold, but it's a dry cold. But that's good because we get fluffy, powdery snow. It's not all this mushy, slushy, dirty stuff like when I lived in Chicago. I'm thankful for that. It's gorgeous. And we love it when there's hoarfrost on the trees. It's like a winter wonderland because you've got all these barren trees that are kind of ugly for a while. And then all of a sudden it gets powdered with this white hoarfrost. And we give thanks to God for that. There's so many beautiful things in God's creation for which we ought to be thankful. And I'm sure if I lived in Manitoba, I'd list so many more things than Saskatchewan, right? But there's such a beauty in God's creation that we should be looking for and thanking Him for. Now, that's just a short list of all the things that we should be thanking God for, and many of which we didn't even ask Him for, and yet He provides them for us. Even though we deserve His wrath, it's all of grace. And that's just the temporal blessings of creation. Think about God's grace to you and His governing providence in your life. Do you thank Him that He's turning even your most difficult trials to your ultimate good? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." That includes all the painful, hurtful circumstances, not just the real, you know, fun and flowery circumstances. But we often have a hard time thanking God in trials, don't we? But we must remember that He is, through these trials, producing in us the image of Christ. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing that we should be thankful for, that He's refining us in the fire, that He's removing the idols of our heart and causing us to depend more upon Him. And giving us opportunities to love like Christ loved in the midst of trials and sufferings. And one day, we will walk by sight. We're not always going to be walking by faith. We will walk by sight, and He will turn even the worst of circumstances into our ultimate good, and it'll all make sense then. I lately have been thinking of that illustration when Jesus encourages us to pray to God as a little child might make requests of their dad. And Jesus says, if you remember, what father, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? And I think of that, and I think, you know, I know that a lot of you are struggling with unanswered prayer in your life. And you probably read that, and you feel like you've been asking God for bread, and He keeps giving you a stone. Or you're asking Him for a fish, and He keeps giving you a serpent, you feel. But have you ever thought to yourself that it may be the case that you're asking Him for a stone or a serpent, and you don't even realize it? Because you don't know all that God knows. And the thing you are asking for, if you haven't received it yet, that either means that it's not God's will, or it isn't God's timing. And if it isn't God's will, it's not good for you. And if it isn't God's timing, it isn't good for you right now, but will be in God's own perfect timing. I mean, isn't this true of the parent-child relationship that we experience in everyday life. Children ask parents all the time for things they think will be good for them. But we as parents know that it won't be good for them. I mean, if I let my 2-year-old son eat everything he asked me for to eat, it would be disastrous. I mean, we just found him the other day after a nap, and he ate a bunch of lip balm. And, you know, I can just imagine him coming up to me if we were in the room saying, can I eat this and take it away from him? No, but it, you know, it smells like watermelon and strawberry. It'll be good for me, Dad. No, it won't be good for you to eat lip balm, son. Right? Kids will want to eat, you know, candy all the time. Candy right before bedtime. Well, it's not that candy's bad for you in and of itself. It's just, it's not the right time right before bedtime. Right? Parents know this well. It's not good timing. We know these things from our day-to-day lives as parents and children, right? Why couldn't it possibly be that way with God, right? When we're struggling with unanswered prayer, we might be thinking that we're asking for bread, but we're asking really for a stone. Tim Keller realized this when he was struggling with unanswered prayer, and he said, as I look back upon a time when he was struggling with unanswered prayer, he said, God was saying to me, son, when a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything I know. If they knew everything I know, that's what I'll say that again. When a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything I know. And so, beloved, thank God for the good design that he has behind all the trials that you have endured. That none of your suffering is wasted in God's providence. Thank him for his perfect timing, and that he will turn whatever present trial you are facing to your ultimate good. As we sing in the song Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Well, finally, above all, do you thank God daily for the eternal blessings that you have in Christ? We haven't got into the eternal blessings. But just think about it. We thank him for all those temporal blessings that I kind of went through, and for his sovereign providence in our lives, his good providence. But also, we've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Paul says in Ephesians 1. Just read Ephesians 1 and see how blessed you are in Christ. You've been forgiven of all of your sins, past, present, and future. You've been declared righteous in God's sight through faith in Christ based on his merits alone. God accepts you. He affirms you. He loves you. And nothing will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he gives you the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, to sustain you in the faith, to produce his good fruit in your life, to be a foretaste of the glories of the age to come. And he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And when Christ returns, then you will see with your eyes how good God is. And you will then know clearly what it means to say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so we aren't there yet, but we can already begin to thank God for all these spiritual blessings that we have, these eternal spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, that none of them can be taken away from us. So it doesn't matter what circumstances you're going through in life, you can always give thanks in all circumstances because your ultimate circumstance is in Christ, in the new heavens and new earth. And so we can thank him for that even now. And so we have manifold reasons to be a people who pray with thanksgiving. Why should you pray with thanksgiving? Because it's scriptural, because it's a shield against fear and self-absorption, and because it shows appropriate gratitude for God's amazing grace. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this afternoon, and Father, we are so unworthy for all the many blessings that you give us. We have grievously sin against you in thought, word, and deed. We continue to sin against you, even though you show us amazing grace and patience in Christ. And yet, Father, you continue to bless us daily with so many blessings. And above all, you've given us the eternal spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Father, grow us in our thankfulness. Help us to murmur less and to thank you more and to find reasons to give thanks to you in our prayers. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.